First up today, times are hard in the news business, especially in the newspaper business. Newspapers have watched as their readership and ad revenue plummeted in the internet age. In some cases, they can't watch anymore. They shut down. Case in point, the Rocky Mountain News in Denver. Another case, the Post-Intelligencer in Seattle, both shut down in recent years. Our first guest today looked at cities where papers shut down. Newspaper deserts is the term in use. And the preliminary research indicates that cities not covered by reporters may spend more money than cities with watchdogs present. Dermot Murphy is an assistant professor of finance at the University of Illinois at Chicago and our guest on The Exchange. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
So, sure, good to have you. The concept of newspaper desert seems pretty obvious. Towns lacking local news coverage. I mean, and I just wonder how big an increase this has been in recent years.
I mean, we see that newspaper closures are well distributed over the course of our sample period from 1996 to 2015, but we see more newspaper closures in the past 5 to 10 years. And we think that this is going to have serious implications for government financing, basically, and this will ultimately cost the taxpayer money.
All right, so this is a fairly long study then. You're talking about 20 years worth of data here.
Yeah, so we had to pour through the newspaper archives to figure out the history of newspapers over time and identify the closures from there. And from there, we were able to cross-reference this data with government borrowing cost data to figure out ultimately what the governments are paying on their loans after newspapers close.
Well, so I mentioned a couple of big examples, the Rocky in Denver and the PI in Seattle, but those are the really large examples. I imagine you dealt with a slightly different size of city here.
So we were looking at newspaper closures from every county in the United States, so we definitely see some smaller examples of newspapers that close. I looked at some examples from Oregon, for example, and I see that Baker City Herald and The Observer and the Daily Journal of Commerce from Portland are in our database, for example.
Okay, so cities of all size then. And when a paper shuts down, I mean, do papers in nearby cities that are still active step up to cover the issues in the places that have become newspaper deserts?
You know, we did look into this, and what we see is that this has been a pretty big systematic issue in the country for a number of years now. And so the newspapers that are left, I think, are spread a little more thin than they used to be. So it's a little harder for them to pick up the slack from newspapers that have closed in nearby counties.
All right. So even if you survive in the newspaper business, it's not like you're really feeling kind of fat and happy and have the resources available to extend to places you didn't cover before.
Oh, certainly. And an interesting example to us is Bell County, California, which is located outside of Los Angeles. And we found that the Los Angeles Times, while an excellent newspaper, was spread a little thin and wasn't able to consistently cover the surrounding municipalities around Los Angeles.
Ah, and so the particular area you just mentioned is the place where there was some rather rampant corruption, I recall.
Yes, that's exactly true. The city manager of that county was being paid about $750,000 a year by the time there was an investigation. And there was a community activist who stated that there was no local newspaper in the area to keep track of these sorts of issues.
Ah, okay. And the LA Times just didn't have the staff to get out and cover that area that extensively.
They eventually did cover that area, but it took a while. This city manager was in power from 1994 until about the late 2000s, I think.
Wow. Okay. So a long time in office. Now, I understand the one of the starting points for this study came from Paul Gow, one of your partners at Notre Dame, who drew some inspiration from John Oliver's show on HBO.
Yes, that's exactly true. We were already aware of the state of the local newspaper, and we thought it was a serious issue. But we saw this segment on the John Oliver show about local newspaper closures and the consolidation of the newspaper industry and the problems that that would have. And we thought this is a really serious issue. So we decided as finance professors to look at this from a finance point of view to see if this was costing governments money.
So what was the logical first step in the research?
So in order to figure out if it cost governments money, we thought we would have to look at the interest rates that they were paying on their loans, because our intuition was that local newspapers provide a crucial watchdog role for local governments. And if local governments are no longer being watched, then they're more likely to engage in bad behavior and ultimately just be more inefficient. And if I, as a lender, want to lend to a government that I deem as riskier because they're more inefficient, then I'm going to have to ask for a higher interest rate to compensate for that risk, basically.
Is that usually what happens, though? A city's own credit rating is assessed. It doesn't just get, there's no like a blanket rate that, you know, a certain institution of a certain size would get for loans?
Sometimes a city does have a credit rating, or the individual bonds have credit ratings, but there are many local governments out there, and some of them actually do not get rated as at all. So while credit rating agencies do provide some valuable information, we find that local newspapers also provide valuable information, especially when the credit rating agency isn't covering that local government.
This is the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Professor Assistant Professor Dermot Murphy at the University of Illinois at Chicago about newspaper deserts, places where newspapers don't cover, they just aren't there to cover issues of local government. Without the watchdog function going on, do local governments spend more money? And it appears preliminarily that the answer is yes. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange to talk about the issue at hand, or more generally about your own consumption of news. I mean, how much has that changed in the internet age? Where do you get your news now that you didn't, and where don't you get it anymore? We'd like to hear that viewpoint too. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So have you looked at every county in the country, you said?
Yeah, every county in the country. Some of them don't have a newspaper in the first place, so they don't enter into our data, but we look at counties that had at least one newspaper, and then we see which ones experienced a closure.
Okay, so you looked at newspaper closures, and then within the cities, you mentioned, was it primarily just that number of the rate that they paid, the interest rate they paid on loans and bonds, was it?
Yeah, we looked at the interest rate that the cities and counties paid on their bonds, i.e. their loans. But in the second part of the study, we also look at some government inefficiency metrics to see if governments are becoming a little more inefficient. So we look at metrics such as government wages, government employees, and taxes per capita.
Okay, and then so it sounds exhausting, first of all.
Yeah, this was a pretty large study, but we really want to drive the point home that that newspaper closures are affecting borrowing costs through the government inefficiency channel. So it's a pretty involved paper, but a typical paper in finance is usually about 40 to 60 pages.
All right. This is not published yet, though, is that right?
It is not. So typically in finance, we put the paper on the Social Science Research Network, and we get feedback from fellow colleagues and other interested parties such as the media. And once we receive sufficient feedback and we get the paper just to where we want it, then we send it off for potential publication at a top finance journal.
So let's talk about, though, the possibility, though, of comparing apples to apples, because this is ultimately what you want to do. You want to make sure you get a similar set of circumstances as you can get. But with all the variables like staffing changes or population growth in a city or changes in elected leaders, I mean, can you account for all of that or control for that as you look at the effect of newspaper deserts on these municipalities?
And that's an excellent question, because cause and effect is one of the big challenges in economics and finance. So one of the approaches we use is that we examine a county that experienced a newspaper closure, and then we look at a neighboring county that has similar demographic and economic characteristics that has its own newspaper operation that did not experience a newspaper closure. And we see that the county that experienced a newspaper closure does see a substantial increase in their interest rates, but the neighboring county does not.
Okay, so these are really the numbers that tell the story. It's just these interest rates. So this is the primary place you're seeing the metrics?
Yes, this is what we primarily look at. We just look at the interest rates on the money that governments borrow, which is pretty important because the money that governments borrow is ultimately used to fund infrastructure, schools, hospitals, roadways, and so on.
So, and why would bonds in particular be so sensitive to scrutiny? Why would a watchdog being there make a difference in how this particular set of transactions is handled?
I mean, newspapers do provide important information for potential investors who want to lend money to local governments. So, for example, a potential investor might look at the local newspaper to figure out if a proposed project for building a hospital is a good idea. So you can see from the local newspaper whether local community leaders are for the project or against the project. So if the community is heavily against the project, then the lender might become a little more hesitant to lend to that local government. So the newspaper provides a pretty important role for providing information to potential lenders.
So without a newspaper present, obviously things have to change over time and people have to look at new places for information, has anything stepped in to fill the gap? I mean, the patch.com or a local public radio station or a local TV station, anything?
You know, I think that they are partially filling the gap, and I think that that local radio stations and local TV stations do an excellent job. A lot of people get their information nowadays from the internet as well, and our alternative hypothesis was that maybe the internet news sources would fill in the gap left empty by local journalism. But I find that the data doesn't really bear that out, and so we conclude from this that at least right now, online outlets aren't really providing the high-quality boots-on-the-ground investigative journalism that the local newspapers were providing.
Dermot Murphy's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, an assistant professor of finance at the University of Illinois at Chicago, working on research about what happens when newspapers are not there to keep an eye on the workings of local government. In newspaper deserts, as the term goes, it appears that local governments do tend to spend money a bit more. You can join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 over the phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. We talked about the fact that you had been putting your research out there, not yet in published form. It was presented, I noticed, at Yale last month. Is that like peer review on steroids?
Yeah, pretty much. So we get some top finance academics coming to some of these conferences. So that's called the Society for Financial Studies Cavalcade, and it took place at Yale University this year. And we got some excellent comments, and that my co-author presented there. And so I'm going to go to Washington, D.C. In a little less than a month to present at the Brookings Municipal Finance Conference at the Brookings Institute. So I'm hoping to get some good feedback from academics and from participants in the municipal bond market at that conference.
Well, constructive criticism always helps, but does it feel like people are throwing rocks at you when you're presenting like that?
You know, for the most part, people have been largely positive about the paper. You know, we do get some criticisms that, you know, we're not establishing cause and effect. But then we point to our results showing that, yes, we see that neighboring counties aren't affected while the county that has a closure is affected. And we have some other creative tests in there as well that really help to drive the point home.
You mentioned Bell, California. Are there other examples that really loom large in your research?
You know, Bell County, California was an interesting example. That was an example of a county that did not have a newspaper in the first place, and it was really apparent the problems that they had there. There are some other pretty interesting examples. I think that Denver is a really interesting example to look at right now because, as you mentioned, the Rocky Mountain News, they did close in 2009, and the Denver Post has been undergoing a series of cuts as well. So we do see evidence that borrowing costs have been slightly increasing in Denver, so I'm interested in keeping an eye on the city as things evolve in the future.
And Dermot, have you done other research in this general area about how the decline of the news business leads to changes in how our government and ultimately society operate?
You know, this is our first paper looking at newspaper closures. We have looked at government borrowing costs in the past. One of our earlier research projects, which is now published, for example, looks at how a state steps in when a city or town is financially distressed. So you can think of Puerto Rico or Detroit, for example. And different states have different laws for helping out their cities. And if a state has laws in place that do help out their cities when they're financially distressed, then we do find that this ultimately does keep a borrowing cost low for those member cities in that state.
I looked at some figures yesterday for newspapers. It looks like circulation is about half of what it was in 1989 for all papers, and the ad revenue appears to be screaming downhill even more steeply. Do you have projections on whether this is likely to continue happening?
I mean, that's what the data seem to indicate so far, that ad revenues are steadily declining for local newspapers. Maybe in the future, people will go back to funding their local journalists, or maybe even there will be more of a call for state governments to fund local journalism ventures. So I'm hoping to see this trend reversed, but it's a little hard to say right now in the data.
And granted, we are just looking at data here, not getting verbatims, but I mean, I just wonder how much people care in an age when you can be so well informed for free.
Yeah, it's a good point, because you can be well-informed for free from radio stations and TV stations and so on, and a lot of people do continue to get their information from online outlets. And what I'm finding is that online outlets do tend to focus on national news, so people do care very much about national issues. But I would hope that in the future, maybe these online outlets will try to tailor their news more specifically to local issues a little bit more, I should say.
So you got people paying a lot of attention to national stories, and yet the things that are going on in their backyard, in their own city, they're not paying as much attention to, potentially?
Yeah, and sometimes that is not a sensational journalism because that would involve investigative reporters attending city hall hearings and so on. But I think that these issues are very important nonetheless.
Anything in your research that shows why news media are generally not very good at making any money with their online offerings?
Yeah, that's something we haven't looked into. You know, I think that there's a lot of competition out there. I mean, you do have news outlets that are that have paywalls and so on. But I think that sometimes people encounter paywalls and they try to find a competing news source that will provide the information for free. So it's an evolving equilibrium right now, and it'll be interesting to see where it goes. But I think it is important that local journalism ventures are ultimately funded somehow, whether by local taxpayers or by the state government or a combination of both.
So Dermot Murphy, what above all else pops out at you from what you were able to cull from this large body of research? And again, we're talking covering 20 years, 1996 to 2015, looking at newspaper deserts and counties all across the country.
I mean, what the data really says to me is that this is a serious issue. So the more that we encounter these news deserts, the more that we're likely to see government inefficiencies. And, you know, government inefficiencies also encompasses government corruption. And so if these problems continue to worsen, then I can see increasing borrowing costs on loans in the future as well. And if borrowing costs increase, then it's going to be harder to fund local projects such as schools, hospitals, and roadways.
All right, so more expense and perhaps not the wisest use of taxpayer money if there isn't somebody there watching in the form of a local newspaper. All right, the research, do you have a deadline or a target date for publication?
We don't have any deadlines, but you know, we try to impose deadlines on ourselves. So we're actually aiming to send this research paper out to a journal in a couple of weeks, actually, because I think that we have the paper about where we want it to be right now. So now it's just a matter of getting through to the journal by passing through the referees.
Well, fascinating stuff and certainly sobering, too. It's about the newspaper deserts and local governments. Dermot Murphy is an assistant professor of finance at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
No, thank you for having me on.